So tonight, then, we'll designate 10 o'clock as an official time when we'll release you. In leading into this, he'd wanted me to do some teaching, but he came and he's been taking the service. And Wednesday night, I was trying to recall the prophecy that when I said almost to the end of the line, he came and began to talk to me about the kind of love that this worship is going to develop in you. And I couldn't even, because prophecies in proportion to the faith given you, and all prophecies given for edification, exhortation, comfort. In order to exhort off of something, it has to have a basis to do the exhortation off of. So in Romans 12, he says, he that prophesieth, do it in proportion to the faith that is given to him. Well, that in proportion to would be I can only exhort out of the proportion that I'm walking in of faith and revelation. And last night I understood the principle that he prophesied, but I'd never been able to understand it enough to put it together had he not come in the spirit of prophecy and exhorted on what I already knew. And when he pulled it together, I got a look at love and God's position in it that I never knew before. Boy, I didn't know what to do for about 10 minutes there. I had to ask Gary what I said. So what did I say, Gary? What did I say? And Gary was able to repeat it. But it went something like this. Of all the things he's given us grace for, he's traded our standing for his. Our weaknesses, and he's forgiven everything, and our standing, and our weaknesses for his strength, and on, and our old nature for his new one, and on. But then he said something about love and its position in grace. In other words, something like he cannot, God cannot, love himself. Oh, man.
Says, I cannot love myself in you, for you.
Say that again.
The one thing he can't do by grace, this one's up to us. He says, I cannot love myself in you, for you.
You ever heard anything like that? Well, thanks, Gary. It's my own prophecy, but thanks. I never heard anything like that in my life. It made me know that the basis of the new nature has everything in it and the capacity for you to develop your love for him. But you have to do it. He can't love himself in you, for you. Hallelujah. So this means we have the nature that has the capacity to hold his love. And this private worship is a key that begins to develop that nature where it comes forward. And you begin to love him. But in that nature he give you that has a capacity for you to love him out of. And it has to be developed. I mean, he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Talking about the new entries into the kingdom of God. The new entries. In Psalms 8, he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength to still the enemy, thy avenger. Out of the mouth of newborn babes, he's ordained the strength to still the enemy. Because the ordination of that strength is they're the new entries into the kingdom of God. David was prophesying of the coming of Jesus, who is man that you're mindful or have a mindful of him. And who is this son of man? We know he was born a man, but you have visited him, God. You made him lower than the angels, yeah, for the suffering of death by which he destroyed him that had the power of death, the devil. So now that these newborn babes coming into the kingdom, this the ordained strength to still the enemy. So he made the emphasis on, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Thou hast perfected praise. So this meant when you come into the kingdom, lest you be converted and become as one of these children, you don't come into it fully developed, knowing everything. But you do come into it with a new nature and a capacity to be developed, to renew your mind. You have a mind that can discern spiritual things. But even more than that, as a newborn babe in the kingdom, you've got a spirit that has a capacity to reservoir all the love of God that you can develop, that He can pour into you. You have a reservoir that can hold it and develop it. And if you want to know the truth, you wouldn't be sitting here if you didn't, would you? As you found out, the ability to discern truth and just knowledge is not enough. Even high IQ is not protection against Mr. Destruction or Destroyer reasonings. Carlton's IQ was off the board, but it was no protection. Knowledge is not enough. All that's written of God is so that you can know God. Knowledge is not enough. When he says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, there was no way to be saved until you heard the word of salvation. Then you acted upon it and you was born again. The standard's the same for everything. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Why? Well, you're looking at a problem or a disease or something you're facing, and you go find out what God said about it. In a simple form, you're saying, oh, He wrote down what He'll do about that problem. So now you know what He said He will do about it. Now believe it. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is what God said He will do about it. Believe it. Until you knew what He said He would do about it, how could you believe that He would do it when you didn't know what it was? Don't make a big mystical thing out of faith. Just, oh, He'll do that. That's right. And believe it. But believing He'll do something, you know, you can believe that about anybody. You say, well, I choose to believe that you'll do that as a business associate. You don't know Him very well. You can hear your reputation, different things. You believe that they'll do what they say. But when you're talking about getting to know somebody, you're talking about something else. When He made you a partaker of His divine nature, you got all of the equipment that you needed to get to know Him in a form of fellowship. Well, I'm telling you, that's connected with love somehow. And in the connection, you get to know Him who said these things, your faith will go off the board. When you get it backwards, as you try to develop yourself to believe somebody you don't know very well. What are you going after here? I'm going to end up going after private worship. Until you get enough of a dose of it in here, it becomes a lifestyle and something you can't hardly do without. Our intention is breaking through the flesh. And I can tell you, probably by the time we're done, there will not be this many people sitting in here who are the same people. Now, there'll be a lot of new ones. Some of you will have got wore out. And some of the things said about the flesh, you'll say, naturally. But before we jump into this and start into it somewhat, then I need to let you know some things that you will set yourself against immediately so that you can begin to win these worship sessions. So we're going to find out about The one area we may not get into too much is celebration. That one's when your body gets involved. All that running and stuff like that, which is fun. But we're not going to come and practice getting into it. Basically, we'll do corporate worship, praise. Praise is when you sing about the mighty works of God, who He is. But pure veins of worship is generally you to Him. It's your adoration to Him. It's you, how much you love Him. You and Him. Then there's the kind of worship that's tied together with confession. Whenever I do confess, the word mine generally is tied around worship, as in Ephesians 5. Ministering to yourself. Who are you ministering to, Roberson? To myself. How? Ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Second part, giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I found out confession works better when you make your strong confession than worship Him for about 45 minutes that it's coming to pass, and then make it again, and then tail it with 45 minutes more worship. You watch out, you'll trip over the package before you leave your house. The more things I ask Him that enables me to serve others better, it seems like the more willing and the more quicker that they come. Hallelujah. As we get into this, I'll be covering a lot of the benefits of private worship, and one of them is you'll no longer have to wonder what that verse means when it says these signs will follow them that believe.
Well, that's talking about you, Brother Roberson.
No, it's not. It's talking about you that believe. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and they'll pray in that tongue and cast devils out. I really like to tread on serpent's bark. You won't have to wonder what that means when you start getting acquainted with God. And I love it. I can't hardly stand it. The days to come, as you know, a whole realm has changed in the atmosphere in Tulsa and things. And the days to come, you'll find out that joy really, really can translate to your strength. His joy is my strength. Now, why would He say that if somewhere in your walk you could possibly, maybe, if you thought about it a little bit, could need extra strength? Of course, I know that any of you, without thinking a day or two, could recall one of those single times. If joy translated to strength, how many of you could use some of that sometimes on a day-by-day basis? Well, what you ought to do is get to know God so good He doesn't go home. Well, the question is, can a guy plot a course that will really end up there? Fortunately, yes, because He doesn't do things the way you do. He never fails. He always finishes. And there's no flaws in His trail. That proves to you right there, He doesn't do things the way you do. But then if you get on His trail, you end up where He's going. This in worship is called celebration. This is called celebration. And this is usually spontaneous. You don't plan it with dancers. Come here, my little microphone. It's not planned celebrations. It's It's when all the praise and worship reaches momentum where your body says, I've had enough of this, and gets in it. Said, you think you're going to sit there and vocalize my foot? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's called celebration. This one you don't plan. Okay, can I give you your cue? Start dancing, please, and shouting it out. A lot of people try to preach. Well, you need to shout for joy.
See, it said shout first, and then...
No, it wasn't telling you to jump up and down so you'll get joyful. It means you got joyful first and can't restrain the shout. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's a way. See, his plans are not like ours. Ours belong to first mice and then men. Mice and men's plans don't amount to much, but boy, I tell you, you get on his path, and you end up going where he's going. And that's what you want. I mean, why would Jesus redeem you out of an into if God didn't have paths going to all the intos?
You mean?
You say it.
You
say it.
You mean on purpose?
Yes, oblivious to what the devil's made out of God, some sovereign guy that feels good some days, and some days he doesn't. Some days he does it, some days he just won't.
Never know what God's going to do.
Of course you don't. You've been taught the Bible by somebody besides the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter who teaches you. If they wasn't taught by the Holy Spirit, you probably don't know much. God is as deliberate as you can get. Why redeem you out of an into if there's not a direct, on-purpose path to the intos? Wouldn't it be? I mean, any businessman would be proclaimed, declared. All his bricks on the fireplace didn't go to the top. If he did things the way that we say God does things. But we excuse God. After all, he can do what he wants. But isn't it something? He's the one that loved you when you were yet in sin and came after you. Isn't that something? He loved you to come after you. Then he gave you a nature that you could love him back with. And then he holds you off. He says, no, there's no direct way to come and have everything I got. Oh, are you sure? And aren't you listening to religion around you? He does it if he wants. You mean after doing all that he did, then there's no way to get to him? Well, I can tell you one thing. We have an admirable foe. Yeah, he's a God impersonator on one side and absolute destroyer on another. Having an admirable foe in the process of your redemption, he said, us to have the first fruits. We groan within our new nature, waiting for the adoption process to be made complete. And he tells you when it will be, at the redemption of your body. And you'll receive a glorified body from him, adoption complete, spirit, soul, and glorified body. And meanwhile, You're left here in this one for the ministry of reconciliation. And you have an enemy. I can remember teaching the first group to pray extensively and long in the Holy Spirit, like all day Saturday. I tell you, testimony after testimony came in. Do you know what usually stops people? Things that usually stop people is they're totally legitimate. Totally legitimate things. They need to be done. How come that your lawn doesn't grow an inch while you're watching TV, but it does while you're trying to pray? After you're watching TV, you say, grow, who cares? But boy, when you say, I'm going to pray all morning, you look at that lawn, you think, I've seen people driven to get busy just because something in them was fighting prayer. Till we taught them to break past whatever that mess was. Because how strongholds work, they don't work real good if they're obvious. Strongholds like to lie below the surface and then feed the action of your outer limbs. You say, well, I just don't know where that anger comes from. I just don't know. Maybe you don't, but there is something that is feeding it. Well, just wait till you go to consecrate. Now, praying in tongues was rough enough because, first of all, the devil doesn't know what you're praying. And second, he knows if he doesn't get you to stop, you're going to eventually find out everything God wants for you and what he'll do for you. So he knows he has to stop you while your emotions still work on his favor and when you're still partially dumb about it. If he can stop you then he's pretty much won. And I tell you, you're going to pray all Saturday in tongues. Your lawn will grow an inch every hour. How many could testify? How many had any kind of bout with your emotions at all when you broke into extensive amounts of prayers the first time? Two hands and a foot over here. Well, praying in tongues, he usually takes a little while to try to corner you on that one because he figures he has a little while. If you get past him to where your first strongholds are involved, I mean, the kind that keep you old mediocre Joe, Mary, public kind of Sunday money going, believer that nothing ever happens for them, to keep you there. He has to keep you from discovering even what your own ceiling. So the devil knows he's got a little while even after you begin praying because, you know, he knows that you're going to eventually uncover that thing and there's going to be a fight. Did you get past your first ones? I did for several years, but then when I really hit the big one. How many likes that teaching we do on El Cockroach? He lives in the penthouse and he's what's got your life ceilinged. He can hear the screams of the less cockroaches dying as you pray in tongues and revelation knowledge is illuminated and you keep putting this thing to death and this one as you go towards the penthouse and there's El Cockroacho King himself. You think you're going to get past me, you naive believer. I've had you a long time. You'll obey me when you come in here. You'll see. So you hear the screams of all the cockroaches dying as you pray in tongues towards the penthouse where the king lives. Whew. Maybe he's immorality, perversion. Maybe he's internet fingers. Maybe he's the love of money. Some of you are saying, I don't have to worry about that. It's funny. It's like you ramble into the penthouse. You look around. My land. There's a cockroach over on the counter. This thing is standing there with the Superman cape on it. You turn around, he's got a great big alley rat on the chain with a spiked collar. And he says, you face him off and he looks at you and he says, you think you're going to move me? Watch this. Roll over, rat. And he jerks on that rat, just rolls over. And the deal's on. So the devil knows it. When you start meeting those things that's kept you with the ceiling, he knows you're holding on to them for a reason, and you probably won't want to turn loose of them just freely. Yet, if you do not stop praying in tongues, then he's eventually going to build you up above them, so you get to look back and see how ugly they was. And for the first time, you and God together will agree that they need to be moved out of your life. And that's the groaning he's talking about in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps your weaknesses. Don't know how to pray as you ought. But he makes intercession with groanings which really can't be uttered, meaning he rises up and this kind of groaning says, I hate where I am in my life. Holy Ghost says, good, because when you didn't care, I had no faith to change it with. Well, why are you saying those things for? Well, there's not a whole lot of the same crowd left. Yet there was enough of us. We wouldn't quit. We know what we're receiving. We know what we've received. We know where we're going. We know why. We know how to get there. I love that feeling. Why did you say those things about praying in the Holy Ghost? Why do you wonder why very many people don't do it extensively? Have you ever wondered that? If all that's in it, that he promised is in it, such as, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Here we are, running everywhere, looking for the elusive faith, the kind that really moves mountains, the kind that really affects the body, that really addresses disease. And we've got a verse right under our nose in black and white. In black and white, just sitting there saying, you, beloved, building yourself up on your own. Say,
I just wished I had more faith.
There it sits. It's there. What does it say, you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy?
I just wished I...
It's right there. Why aren't more people breaking past, throwing crutches, jumping up and down with the Achilles tendons tore? Well, if it does all of that, then why isn't more people doing it?
Can you give me an answer, Brother Robeson?
Sure. Because almost all of them tried it and was turned back. And they believe what they see, hear, or feel, circumstances. Or they got things in their life that they're going to hold on to. So the uncomfortable delivery after delivery to the problem to deal with it, they get tired of. So we've had people say, I'm not going to pray, and I don't want to pray, and I don't even want to. Well, why did you say that about praying in tongues? Well, to answer some questions like why more people don't do it and why they stand up and say, great, great, incredible things like you can pray too much in tongues and get weird. What do you got to say to that? Oh, I've already prayed too much in tongues and I didn't get like the people that were saying it. You leading up to something? Yes, sir. When I approached the door, he wanted to unlock to me the private worship, presence gift. Some of you are so hungry for God. You're so hungry for Him to occupy the space you walk in a way that it resembles the Word of God in the sweet, sweet presence of His fellowship that He said we all could have. These signs follow them that believe. When I approach this door, the private worship in particular, it had one of the biggest padlocks on it I'd ever seen. And then to that point, whatever flesh praying in tongues had left behind and didn't deal with. It was dealt with in private worship. For His presence to come the way it does and to fellowship with you on a level that He is wanting to fellowship with you, redeemed you. And even though the devil tries to access through the flesh, still He made every provision and cleared every path for that kind of fellowship so you can enter into it with Him. He wouldn't redeem you out of and into without cutting a direct path into into. I mean, He loves you more than you love Him, yet He's offering all that He is to you if you want to go there and fellowship with Him. Found a big padlock on the private door of worship. There's something about that door scared him. I mean, it scared the devil bad. I don't mind telling you. He attacked pretty much up front. Delayed me an entire year. A year. Well, since then, I've had enough taste to understand why he's so mortified of you just sitting here and listening to the possibility of you finding out how to turn him loose in your life with the anointing of the believer. So I found a great big fat lock on that door because the devil was horribly frightened, and I could sense a lot of that. It wasn't hard to sense it when somebody slays you out under the power and says you don't know nothing about worship. Would you say that's pretty hard to sense? And then does it in front of the whole church. When I got up off the floor, I knew what I had to do. 6 months into it, I wondered why I had been so dumb. Well, I needed to know about private worship because he's turning the river back now. And as of January on, it'll be the clearest year I've had in all the years of ministry. It's not for a season of fasting and praying. We're turning this river back until we get down here. What he's called us to do here. So he wanted to put the worship limb on because it's absolutely necessary for him to deliver to us in Tulsa what he wants to be delivered. So I've got my path laid out. He's already talked to me. I know exactly what he wants, exactly what to do, and how to go in there. He wanted me to not just talk about it and preach about it, but he wanted me to begin to teach and then to start walking you in to more and more of it. In fact, he wanted me to walk you into so much of it that you would graduate in fellowship with him and his presence so much that it would become a way of life, an every minute thing, something that you'd rather crawl off in a corner than do than the things you used to do that had no eternal value. Yeah. Hallelujah. So is there a way to walk into God to where his joy really becomes your strength? And the anointing of the believer is so powerful that you could devastate a children's hospital. Mantoski, if these signs follow them that believe, and you're the believer, and the signs are following you, who are they happening to? The power doesn't usually work real good when you get God cornered in the building and the same people keep coming back trying to receive the same thing. The power works the best when you got cross sections of believers filling auditoriums, and then a lot of them are encountering the power for the first time. When you get people healed like we have been, old believers, old accountable believers, getting miracles, you're talking about a level of his power that's incredible. But even more than that, you're not supposed to just hold together and try to get things from God. You're supposed to be the ones bringing them out to the world. The reason we mostly don't do that, because he's never used you that way, so it doesn't seem like he ever will. And besides, if somebody says that somebody in the family is sick, and you go, well, I'll go over and pray for him, he'll heal him. You're thinking, what if I go over there and he doesn't? Like I said the other day, what I hate about my walk in the old days was unanswered prayer. But I'm starting to enjoy this now. And the presence that is changing hour by hour is because I found out in the new nature how to take that and yield it to Him more and more until those things of His love and His compassion, the things that mean a difference to Him concerning you and your walk into Him and His compassion and virtue and pureness and holiness and brotherly kindness, all those things connected with the nature that you're able to stand up and these things be in you, you'll never fall. That then could proclaim, I'm a believer, and have all the virtues that substantiate your claim. Plus His power. That's what He wants to develop in you. Well, I can pray in tongues. Yes, sir, that's a revelation gift, and it'll deliver you to worship. And worship will be a fellowship between the nature you have and God's until the part that you received when you were born again will expand and magnify like a reservoir. Until you're holding so much of Him that for Him to move and do those things and the sign of a believer become an everyday walk for you. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Will everybody in here make it? Most crowds, you always have casualties. Somebody will get mad. Somebody bored. Most don't believe the end result's going to be what you say. The attack comes. Some think that the price is too great. They'd rather live in mediocre Christianity and abide their time until they stand before Him and then get on with it. There'll never be another time in history that God needs me. Not in the future's history. He'll never need me like He does now. There may never be another time in the future that He needs me to do a part that He can't do. Trust me, if He could have reached the world with what He had, it would have been reached, because it's not His will that any should perish. Yet He's made all that He is available, so that wouldn't happen if He happens to get turned loose. So think. If winning a city was easy, all your churches would have the city won. But usually the battle gets so ferocious that it aborts a long time before it comes much more than a program. Well, will we? My confession is new. No. And if we do lose you, you'll come back. You'll be back. But wouldn't expect you to be back before what we're saying starts coming to pass on a level that the city's affected. But it's going to happen, because God doesn't have bad plans. And what He taught and His roots into who He is works. And they're as sure as the air that you breathe through a system He created to breathe it with. There is a direct route to Him. He wants this more than we do. So He's uncovered His plan. We're going there. In this step, this is what He said, in this step that we're taken into, this kind of private worship will consist also of a revelation of God's transition from God, whom He was to the Old Testament saints, to your Father. Transition from God to God the Father. Many, many things will happen when you start growing close to Him like this. Ishokodema. Tukodema chodi endiski. Tori alopukanduskiri juma. Some of you are questioning inside, is this going to be a hard thing that'll make like my walk no fun and that kind of thing? No. There's no temptation taking you such as common to man. God's faithful. You cannot be tempted above what He's provided for you through the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. And through that avenue, He'll make a way for you to get out of it. Long time before in your strength you think you couldn't bear it. There's nothing that ever happens, will happen, no matter what the devil or who he thinks he is, that's stronger than God. And you hang on. It'll be over a whole lot faster for you than it will for the devil. So hang on and believe what he said. I found out in the private worship there was a time I couldn't trust my emotions. But I didn't care. I was in on a commitment because I was laying on the floor and God said, go in. So I stayed in there on a sure commitment, not because I was dancing in the strength of my joy. But one thing I do have is a stubborn streak. I know because it took me down wrong roads that took me a long time to get off of. But boy, when a stubborn streak is a servant of God, that's a good thing. Everybody else quits. You're the only one there. But you're there. Hallelujah. So I couldn't go by anything that I felt for a while. And I stayed in. Until the first waves come and I found out what He wanted me to know. Now I'm going to spend a few minutes with you just clearing up one thing here. Then when I clear that thing up, we're going to worship in a song. And then what I'm going to kick you into, what it feels like to have about an hour of private worship. You and Him. Now, there'll be people around you. You might as well get used to that.
Well, I can't worship in private worship when people's around me.
Why?
Well, they might hear what I'm saying and that.
What, do you want us to hire a band to follow you around all day? Create an atmosphere? Conducive? Is that you? You know what I'm going to say next. What if you were thrown in jail by Uga and Olga? They don't shave their legs, and every time you worship, they hit you with a chain. Is that conducive? And took your little walkie away from you? Walkman, I mean. Took your little Walkman and broke it right in front of you. So now what's conducive to your worship? So I don't care if you wander around in here. So, you know, after a while, when you just walk in and worship in Him, it's okay. Now, when I first broke in, I wouldn't pray in tongues because I was so accustomed to knocking hour after hour praying in tongues that revealed the revelation. But I wouldn't let myself, because if I went unconscious on myself, you know, wandered off into some foreign country in my mind or something, my mouth is still praying in tongues, so it really didn't matter much because God's still creating the prayer.
So, but you wasn't, your mind wasn't staying focused.
Why could I didn't know what I was saying. What's the point? But I learned how to read the Word, if I want to, while I'm praying in tongues. Over and over, like read Ephesians 50 times. Not one word fails to escape my lips. But private worship, when I broke in, I wouldn't let myself pray in tongues, because if I did, then I'd find myself over there praying instead of worshiping, and I went in there to learn how to worship. Now I can fluctuate, because both of them are solid in me, but not at first. My mind had wandered off down the street. Saw some problem from yesterday and I was doing God lip service. I love you, I love you, I love you. And I'm thinking inside, I wonder what I'm going to do about this problem, probably.
Can I love you? I love you.
And all of a sudden I'd hear this. Wait a minute. What are you doing? This is just lip service. Your soul's wandered off down the street and you're just sitting here going, I love you, wherever part of you, somewhere else, I'd make it come back. In fact, I would stop worshiping until I got my soul back, all four attributes, my mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotions. I'm in the presence of a king! And you will pay attention. And that's when I shortened my statements down. First, they were great, filled philosophical. Exegesic masterpieces. O God, we know that thou art the celestial go between the troubled waters of mankind and the omnipotence of yourself. Could you see it clear to throw a morsel of bread towards the worship that is directed in your infinity? You'll just forget that stuff after a while. That'll drain you alone. What I found out is I'm flowing with him in my nature. This was what he was looking for, a connection. I found out the more that I could stop and pour everything I am in every statement of adoration, that I love you and I worship you and I glorify you. Hallelujah turned out to be a good word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd switch over to that. And boy, something would jump inside of me. I thought, that must be a good word. Yah is God. Hallelujah is thousands, hundreds of thousands of praises to Yah. Yahweh, Jesus. But it's a Jewish hallelujah. And yes, it's a good one. At those short statements of adoration, I worship you and glorify you. And magnify you. Hallelujah. 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 I would find I would get more response out of the nature. Words would add on. I bless the day that you saved me and I could call you my Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I love you and glorify you and magnify you. Days were spent practicing pouring myself into the short statements of adoration until the time came that he started coming stronger. Sometimes I'd go get a great big old cup of hot tea and I'd be worshiping, falling around in the room. I'd bring my tea back because my throat would get a little dry and I'd set it down. Took a little bitty sip and I'd get lost. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I think I'll take me another little sip of tea. And it was cold. That fellowship, the longer I stayed in it, the more it transformed me in spiritual realms to a spirit I could yield in just seconds. Now, when it first showed up out of the ordinary, the camp meeting here, and then it followed me to Phoenix, where I was in a camp meeting where they are kingdom now. You understand, kingdom now, don't look for the return of Jesus in the clouds. He's coming to the fullness in you. No rapture. So these were kingdom now people. Well, I went on to the kingdom now. You know, their doctrine's not too good. They love God. And the preacher's wife had a thumb that hadn't worked in several years. And she saw what he did in the service. I did too. I was almost shocked as she was. Well, the anointing that comes on my calling, my office had lifted off of me. Not the anointing of the believer. Had ever presence of God in a business deal, in your public worship, in your calling to teach, in your planning sessions. She saw what happened out there, and I was dead tired and drained. I collapsed in a chair. She come with a thumb like that. She said, would you pray for me? And I said, oh, sure. Preacher's wife. just out of habit, I was going to reach over and pull on it to see what would constitute a miracle, you know? When I raised my hands up like this, just to get ready, you know, and then I reached over. When I raised them like that, that's when he came. Now, 25 years of ministry before that, he didn't come, except in the service. What happened between me and him? Who is it for? What's it designed to do? It's certainly, for one thing, to bring miracles out of four walls. So will the devil fight it? Come on. You can't. How are you going to get enough from them? Put my hand up and go, they swept in. And I reached over to test her thumb. It just went straight up like that. She goes, oh my God, you should have seen me. I had to keep my composure. Oh yes, yeah, every day. You know, some of us got it, some don't. You know, Chebecca. And I'm sitting there just going, this is getting too frequent. It's scaring me. Well, an elder's kid who was about 14, born blind in one eye, saw it. He come over and threw himself down. He said, would you heal from, you pray for my eye, would you? And I said, yes, son. By this time I'd lost it. He came. So I took my hand off of his eye and he opened it. And he had the most amazed look on his face. He stood up and he goes, oh my God, I can see. He ran out into the auditorium screaming where his mother and father was. And it was over. Well, I don't mind telling you, the devil's continued to attack in every way possible, including a house. That all the contractors that were anyone who was anyone offered by the insurance company said, oh, 6 months, 2 years ago. My burned down house is supposed to have been given back to me in 6 months, and that's been 2 years ago. But I'm catching on. I'm not the one that's afraid. I'm not the one that's worried about it. I'm not the one who's so fearful that's launching the all-out onslaught. So it has come time to point you down the same road, not just teach it, to walk you down part of it. It'll have everything to do with what's coming and what God does. Hallelujah. I remember the woman, she was a Baptist lady and real nice and split her arm and had a partial cast on. And her friend brought her, said, can't you just wait so I can get in a prayer line and I'll give you a ride home. I'm going to go right now. I said, bring her through my office. And they did. And I reached up and says, what happened to your arm? It's cracked. I said, can I pray for you? And I promise I won't scream and you won't fall down. Nobody will yell at you. She says. And I said, and then they'll give you a ride home. Just let me just take your hand and pray for you, okay? She's real scared. You know. I said, oh, Father, you love her. Just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. The next day she called the lady who gave her a ride. She's a school teacher. She says, boy, I woke up this morning and my arm was totally, I mean, it doesn't hurt anymore, and I can move it. She says, they're really funny people, but God hears them. He really does. So she came back to an afternoon service, and she went up, and there was only 6 people left, and she got in the line anyway and landed on the floor and became one of us. What a witnessing tool. Chukwudasi. Before we turn you loose until 10 o'clock, you can walk. You know how I just told you to worship him? You don't have to scream. You can if you want. You don't have to talk out loud if you want. I found prayer to be long enough that I preserved my vocal cords by whispering. I love you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And surprising, he seems to hear me. So much for the warring tongue. Kwasundake, will you go somewhere with me for a moment? How about John, the 4th chapter? And you get ready to launch them in. After you do it 2 or 3 times, you know, worship song, leadness, and you just go ahead and fade out. You can play a little bit while they're breaking in a little, and then you can worship. Eventually, we'll put tapes on to give them breaks so they can get off into it themselves without concentrate on the keys. Hallelujah. Now notice he says in the 23rd verse of John, the 4th chapter, the hour cometh and now is, and the hour on the millennial time clock is 41 point years. He's talking about woman, O Samaritan woman, you are in the generation I'm talking about. You are living in this hour, and that would be the hour that I come. That's why he said the hour cometh and now is. He says, it's not complete yet, but it is the hour that I am in. It is the generation. And this is what's going to happen. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Nudist 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when he said the hour cometh and now is, and the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for he seeketh such. The fact that he said the hour now is meant it's arrived. I mean, it's here. He's talking about the hour that he would die and resurrect from the dead. And the true worshiper then would begin to worship him in spirit, out of their spirit, and in the truth of the new nature that he had given to them. So when he says the Father seeketh such to worship him, it didn't mean that he was jumping from church to church looking for a good worship team. It meant he waited out the dispensations of 4,000 years for the first man to be born on this planet spiritually alive that could give him the fellowship that he so desired out of a nature like his own. So when he said he sought such, he waited out the dispensations. And this first man appeared, and he says, this hour now is when the true worshipers will. I'm going to die. He says, you're going to be born again, and you also will be able to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The bottom line, the Old Testament saints could not. You can. They couldn't give him what you can, because you have been put in fellowship with him, because you have received a nature that's made you a partaker with his, and you can finally give him the fellowship he's waited for 4,000 years. When I first broke into the worship, I didn't know what was happening to me when that well dried up. I said, what does it mean in spirit and in truth? What are you talking about exactly here? So I was trying to break in. I was hitting these dry times. I mean, two or three hours, I'd say, I love you, I love you. I'm not saying you have to hit them. But if you do, don't let them be the reason you abort. So I started searching books from people that were known for worship and that kind of thing. Because I wanted to find out what spirit, what he meant in spirit and in truth, and almost all of them said the same thing. And one of them in particular, who is one of the top teachers, said that if you were worshiping him and it was dry and you never broke through and you didn't feel anything, he says you were in the flesh and not in the spirit. And so that you really didn't get through to him. He even linked it with something he called spontaneous, meaning that he said, I tried to do it in the flesh, break in, you know, and worship him. But boy, when he just come on me and I got right in, then I was into the spirit. So he was teaching along those lines. Nick. Wrong. There definitely is a difference when you feel him and don't feel him. But you can't gauge that and whether or not heaven is receiving your worship. And that is why most abort. But you're not going to. You can be dry as cracker juice. And you're going to keep on until he comes like he said he can come. Where's the battleground? Where are the great men and women of God formed? Not standing in front of a crowd. They're formed in the privacy of their own prayer closet where nobody's watching. Jehovah. So am I getting through when it just dries up? Doesn't feel like it. Hang your feelings. They're what got you in trouble in the first place. You quit that or did that. Didn't do that and it was the wrong thing. Didn't do it and it was the right thing. And why? Well, they had enough sense and faith to teach us, I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. Why are you suddenly moved? Because you got dry in worship.
Well, because of what it's supposed to do.
Your confession is supposed to heal you too when you still have the pain. Isn't it? All right. Am I getting through? When it dried up, was I getting through? How many days did you spend, weeks dried up? Anybody out there? Hello? Is this a vacant universe? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Now I wonder, where you are, God? Up above the sky so far? That seemed adequate. Didn't help much when I got those books.
You're not getting through.
I said, how long is it going to take me?
You're not doing any good. You're in the flesh.
It's quite the contrary, my friend. When the flesh is stacked up against you, Pharaoh's armies behind you, desert on both sides, ocean in the front of you, when you throw those arms up and you worship him and glorify him, I tell you, all heaven gathers and they're shouting you on, say, look, the devil's against them, their flesh is against them, their circumstances against them, but look, look, they won't quit. And heaven is shouting, and quite the contrary. You're moving him even more than when you feel him. When you're feeling is only the evidence that he's come to fellowship with you, because those things that were stopping you before can't stop you now. So the dry times was moving him even more when you get the evidence of you knowing who he was anyway. You got some exciting times ahead of you. We got more to say. You want clarity of mind? Worship eventually causes that sensual baptism where the cobwebs clear out and your senior moments get further in between. Where was I going? What was I saying? What street am I on? Where's my house? Private worship added a dimension to my health that I wished I'd had when I was 50. Hallelujah. So you think you were ready to take a little maiden flight for about 45 minutes? They're going to jump up and lead you in the first ones. Initially, you'll stand up, and then you can be seated anytime you want. And after they quit leading you, and we go into the private. I'll lead you into a portion of that. And then I'm going to turn you loose in here. You can wander around. Just get down on your face. You can go to the altar. Lay on the floor. I don't care what you do. I just don't want to see your mouth stop. Hallelujah. If nothing you can think of is hallelujah, glory, try to pour yourself into it for the period of time that we're here. And at the end, when we close, about 10 o'clock, we'll come back with one more public worship. And let's see the difference. And the building's yours. Stay on, my friend. Stay on and keep worshiping. We're ready. Stand up. You need to know that if there's things that's not right in your life and you know they're not, the moral, things that you know that they shouldn't be in your life. Private worship will declare war on those things. See? His intention is not to bring convicted lifestyle, your ship is sunk to you. It is to build you up in the fellowship with Him until you rise up above it. So the devil starts pulling that stuff. You do this and you do that, so you're not worthy to worship Him, and you don't hear you, and when His presence comes and you feel Him and you know that you're doing that wrong. Don't let Him use it to get you to stop worshiping. Because His intention is for the light to dispel that darkness and eventually be part of your answer. So let that stop you. Because you're going to love where you come out of this thing. So that'll be His first thing He'll try to pull on you. You'll start worshiping Him and you'll feel the conviction of the things you do wrong. Tell Him to shut up. Then you're going to stay in anyway, devil, and you know it's a cheap parlor trick. He doesn't have to tell you you're not supposed to be doing those things. You already know that. Besides, your business is not His business. You're bringing these things to God. And worship is a vehicle. Goodness, get this. So after this point, she's just going to play softly. I'm going to begin leading you. You choose your own words of adoration, but the thing you want to try to do is pour yourself into it. And eventually, you survive and go on to hours and hours. You find your mind wandering. You're still going to arrive there, even if you found it wandered for a half hour. So eventually, you're still going to get to the same place in worship. But if you want to get in quick, like in a 30-minute session like this, you wander off and you're thinking about leaving, thinking about this, bring it back and tell your soul you're in the presence of a king and you want to worship Him, so you will pay attention. Hallelujah. But when you go privately into the longer times, if your mind wanders around, do what you can with it, but don't stop worshiping because it does. Eventually, you're going to become going to feel the effects of what you keep saying and saying, even if you lose 40 minutes of paying attention. Are you ready? Here we go. You don't have to yell, but you do need to say it. You can't think it. It's got to come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. I'll be doing it loud for a while. Then I'm going to turn this thing off. You'll be wondering on your own. Hallelujah. So just lift them hands. Let's begin. And after we begin, then you're free to walk, do anything you want. Put your body where you want to put it, on your knees, back in the chair at the altar. I don't care. Let it walk if you want, but don't stop worshiping for the next 30 minutes. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, my Father. Hallelujah. 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 I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Magnify and glorify and exalt you and lift you up. I want to tell you how much I love you, Father.
I glorify and magnify and exalt you to high heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I magnify and glorify and exalt you with all my heart. With all my heart I worship and adore you and glorify. With all my heart I magnify, exalt you. I bless. I totally, with everything in me, I bless, I bless, I bless, I bless, I bless you. And I magnify you and give you all the glory. All the glory. And I bless the day that I can call you my Father. I magnify and glorify and bless the day my heart could love you and express from the pureness of the new nature my adoration. I love you and worship you and glorify you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorify and magnify and love you. And sometimes he'll jump in you. You feel a quickening. Follow it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Follow it. It's a good line. Hallelujah. Grace. I love you and worship you. Glorify and magnify. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Naskisi. I worship you and magnify you and glorify you and exalt you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I know, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, Jesus, and there you paid the price. Oh, you love me. Oh, you love me. I love you. Holy Spirit, you're supposed to teach me how to glorify him. You teach me how to worship him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I glorify and magnify and exalt you and lift you up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, can I see? Feel free to move around. Hey, can I say anything you want to do now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory. I praise you, magnify you, and exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Mikos gracia. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, I love you, I glorify you, I magnify your holy name. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, with all my heart, yes. With all my heart, Jesus, I love you. I glorify you. I magnify you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How I bless you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I glorify you and magnify and lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I praise you, my Jackie. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father. Oh, how I magnify and glorify you and lift you up, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. I magnify you and exalt you. Lift you up, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, sodokoda masadeke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dekemasa. Hallelujah. Hehikwa. Hallelujah. 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 How I magnify and glorify and worship you and exalt you and extol you and lift you above the heavens. Oh, how I love you, Father. How I love you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, how I love you. How I love you, Mahakia. And I'm breaking in tongues a little bit. I'm letting it on purpose. Okay, and when you break in, let it come. I mean, you can also fluctuate, but break in. But the only reason I'm telling you the tongues is because he's pleased. He's very pleased in it. Mahuski, very pleased in all of your hearts. Reaching out for him the way that they are. Very, very pleased. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How I glorify you and magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Damaso Dekidese. Glory, 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 glory. Dokedese, Dokedese. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Nakosoke. Nolakosenteke. Hallelujah. Now we're going to leave you on your own for the next 20 minutes now. Yosoke, and we'll come back at 10 o'clock. Can you just give some things belong to God and all the glory is one of them? And all the glory for worship belongs to Him too. So lift up hands. And you thank Him with all your heart. And you're walking down a path of presence and glory and miracles and faith and answered prayer. All that He is. A direct path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we've got many things to walk you into. We'll establish it in each. But how this worship will so affect your confession. You'll spend one of those hours with the things that you're believing for. And it'll be backed up by 40 minutes of solid receiving worship. Another hour of private worship. And then corporate. But we'll spend 5 or 6 hours a week. Most of these Friday nights. If we have to move things, change things, we will find time somehow to accomplish this once a week. We're not sure when it'll end up, but this was not something he asked me or thought what I thought about it. This was, first find out what it is, establish yourself, and then lead them in. Did you know that some of these things have been hid for hundreds of years and you're going to experience?